What's going on, Blue Jays fans? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Of course, I want to thank all listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. You can find my work on Twitter, at Weiss Sports, where my work is appeared on Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. The Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
On today's show, we are continuing our look back to 2021 as it pertains the Toronto Blue Jays. Yesterday, we did the top newsmakers of the Toronto Blue Jays 2021 season. Today, we are doing the top games of the Toronto Blue Jays in 2021. And once again, joining me to break down the top games of 2021 Toronto Blue Jays season is MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Happy to be here. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm very happy to always look back on a season like we just had. I mean, obviously for the Toronto Blue Jays, it was a fun one. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing this, Jen, for like the 2019 season when they lost over 90 games. But even though they didn't make the playoffs in 2021, there were a lot of exciting ball games that the Blue Jays were involved in.
There really were. And, you know, the first one that I actually want to talk about, I was at.
Okay. You brought the team some hometown luck.
Maybe. September 3rd, Friday, September 3rd versus the Oakland Athletics. So I'm sure everybody remembers this game. This is when the Jays came from behind twice to ultimately win 11-10 in a walk-off. And I was sitting there with my good friend Sean, and I mean, so much of the game was just so ridiculously frustrating, the way that the Jays just kind of kept giving up the lead. And, you know, it got to the point where we were just half joking about the game. And I don't know exactly what made us stay there till the end, other than the fact that we're just not the kind of people who tend to walk out on a baseball game. But I mean, they were down by 4 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning. And then Lourdes Gurriel Jr. hit a grand slam to tie the game. Okay, so here we are, tie game. And then the Jays give up 2 runs in the top of the 9th. And I remember my friend and I just sort of rolling our eyes and laughing and sort of thinking to ourselves, like, yep, this is the 2021 season in a nutshell. And before you know it, in the bottom of the 9th, there was a George Springer double. Great to see George out there. Followed by a Marcus Semien walk-off home run. And, you know, it was such an unlikely comeback because he had to come from behind twice. And I think in the bigger context of the season, this was part of an 8-game win streak, part of the Blue Jays going 12-13. And I feel that that one game put them back into the wild card race because it was right at the beginning of September. And, you know, we all know that they had a really incredible September. They went on that run, ultimately led to some, you know, that really exciting finish to the season. And I don't really know, it's debatable if there is such a thing as momentum in baseball, but I feel like that one game, I guess because they had to fight back several times and ultimately win it, I feel like if there is such a thing as momentum in baseball, that game was pivotal in their September momentum.
Well, let's just take a look at where the Blue Jays sat. 5 games back of Boston, 6.5 back of the Yankees entering this contest. Oakland and the Seattle Mariners were also ahead of them in the wild card race, Jen. Like, I remember at that moment, like, the Tigers fiasco had just happened. It sort of felt like the season was done. I mean, like, and I feel like a lot of Blue Jays fans certainly felt that way. But you get these games in the regular season, Jen, that are just wacky and wild and make you re-fall in love again with the game of baseball. I feel like this game definitely did that. And I just think, again, like, I don't really know, you know, how they were able to do it, frankly. I mean, it must have been wild for those in the press box who were on deadline having to write a game story off of this because of just the lead changes and whatnot. But I think those are the type of games that really tell the tale for a season and of a team. And I know that Charlie Montoyo, the Blue Jays manager's motto is no quit, never quit. And that was what this Blue Jays team did that game against Oakland, really foreshadowing a wild month for the team, the final month of the season.
Right. And you give those standings as far as where the Blue Jays were within the bigger playoff picture. And you're right. They were basically out of it at that point, or one could easily have assumed that they were out of it because nobody could have predicted that they would have gone on that September run the way that they did. And, you know, what did I say? I think they hit something like 66 home runs in that month between September and October, like just an absolutely insane month of baseball offensively from this team. And, you know, again, it's had they not gone on that run, I think we'd obviously be talking about this team very differently than we currently are. We would not have as much optimism as we do for next season. And, you know, it just seems to me like that one game alone was that sort of pivotal point in September, that pivotal point in the season where, you know, they grinded it out. They somehow pulled off that win and just ran with it from there. And yes, they fell short, but it was still a really exciting month of baseball that everybody could invest in.
No doubt. And I'm sure we have more games from that month coming up in our look back at the top games of the Blue Jays 2021 season. I'm going to go way back here, Jen, for my first top game of 2021. Back to April 27th. So this is like the early, early days of the 2021 Toronto Blue Jays. They're in Dunedin, and they're taking on the Washington Nationals. And this is where Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got a hat trick, if you will, a home run hat trick, if I may say so myself. And look, there were many moments in 2021, and of course, I mentioned it yesterday on the pod when talking about the top newsmakers, and he was certainly, you know, one of them. And you can't talk about the 2021 Toronto Blue Jays without talking about Vlad. But this was the game where I really thought, wow, okay, this is a different Vlad. This is a different guy from the previous couple of seasons. And he had a three-homer game against the Washington Nationals. And the thing is, Jen, the Washington Nationals had some quality arms at this point in the season. Two of those home runs came off Cy Young candidate Max Scherzer, one of your favorite pitchers, who, of course, you know, we thought we may come to Toronto. Didn't happen, but, you know, it was a fun topic of conversation at the time. And then the third was served up by Kyle Finnegan, and he ended the year with a 3.55 ERA. So it wasn't like Vlad was hitting batting practice against, you know, minor league pitchers. I mean, these were top Dewey pitchers here. And I just think that if you put that performance into context, it just shows you what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did in 2021. And I think that performance really was the launch pad for what would be a successful 2021 season.
Well, Vlad single-handedly won that game, really, right? I believe that the final score was 9-5. And, you know, Guerrero Jr. was responsible for seven of those runs. He had seven RBI in that game. And those three home runs, you know, even his dad never hit three home runs in a single game. So that was already sort of a special moment for him. And you're right, because it came off of, or two of those home runs anyways, came off of Max Scherzer, who had a phenomenal season. And I think it was, you know, this glimpse at this new and improved Vlad Jr., who looked confident right from the beginning of the season, right? He looked different. His at-bats looked different than they had in the past. He looked comfortable and he looked dominating. And that game for sure highlighted, you know, his abilities, highlighted his approach at the plate, and highlighted his power and highlighted his gamesmanship.
Well, you look at the numbers at the end of the season with 311, 401, 601 slash line, 48 home runs in 161 games. And I know, Jen, that some people may think, well, this hat trick, home run hat trick came in Dunedin. Well, I mean, again, you know, leave the ballpark set of it aside. Like, he's still, it's still an incredible performance, right? And those were the circumstances at the time. That's where the Toronto Blue Jays called home for a little bit to start the season. And I just think, again, you know, the fact that I think it continued that way for Vlad in terms of games where you really felt like he was the one in control. He was the one, whenever he stepped up to the plate, you thought he was going to get a home run or a big hit. That just showed you the type of season he had. And I think it's games like that against the Washington Nationals that put someone on the map as an early MVP candidate. And that's what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did in that game. We are going to take a quick break. We have a lot more interesting and fun games to get to as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays. But first, we're going to check in with our friends at Built Bar. The new year is coming up, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good, you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or, goodness me, could taste even like a chemical spill. Now, how do you get said Built Bar? Well, you go to Built.com and use the promo code and get 50% off your order. That promo code is LOCKED15. So head to Built.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED15. For 15% off at Built.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank all listeners that make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, another game for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2021 that had your attention.
So you were right earlier when you said that we were going to talk about several games in September, and I'm going to focus on actually two games that happened in the same day,
yes.
Which of course, September 11th against the Orioles in Baltimore. You know, the Blue Jays had lost to the Orioles on the Friday night. They lost 6-3, which really angered and frustrated a lot of fans because it was the lowly Orioles. But they walked in there on September 11th. In the first game, Ryu was the starting pitcher. He had a terrible outing, gave up 7 earned runs in just 2.1 innings of work. And it was really easy at that point for fans to roll their eyes and turn off the TV and just be ticked off that they were seemingly going to drop another game to the Orioles. And, you know, with doubleheaders, of course, being only 7 innings long, they were down by 4 runs in the 7th inning. And they managed to claw their way back, capped off by a 2-run Springer dinger to win the first game 11-10. And then game 2, not exactly the hit fest of the first game. They were actually down 1-0 again in the 7th inning, when all of a sudden the offense came to life. They scored 11 runs in that seventh inning and ended up winning the game 11-2, and, you know, followed it up the final day of the series with that 22-7 win, which was just ridiculous. And I know it's really easy to sort of write it off and say, well, it was the Orioles, right? Like they ought to be able to beat the Orioles. But the thing about baseball is that, you know, on any given day, a team can win, and you have to be able to beat up on your weaker opponents. That is absolutely critical if you're going to have success in a season, right? And the Blue Jays absolutely destroyed the Orioles that weekend.
Yeah, and to that point, I mean, a bad team still wins a third of their games, right? So, I mean, a bad team can still win. I think what was crazy about this was that the fact that the Oakland game had happened, you know, a week earlier, right? And it felt again like these were must-win games. And look, I say this all the time, Jen, that Toronto sports, the teams don't make it easy on their fans. And these two games right here are no exception. But I think, again, you know, seeing George Springer, right? That I think is so special because, again, like we've talked about on this podcast at length, Springer was brought in for the big moments. And we saw in September him rise to the occasion. And look, he was struggling. I mean, when he came back from injury, it was not a smooth comeback for him. There was that one game where, you know, he slammed his bat. He called it the worst at-bat of his career. But I think in these type of moments where the Jays need to win, I think having someone like George Springer there really definitely helped. And I just think, again, you know, this is what the Blue Jays are. When their offense is clicking, they're one of the most dominant teams in baseball. And look, I get it's the Baltimore Orioles, but man, is that offense fun to watch when it's clicking on all cylinders.
Absolutely. And you can't take the bad teams for granted, right?
Sure.
You really can't. You can't just take it easy or, you know, go out there expecting to win, because the truth is that even the bad teams, those players are trying to win those games. They're not going to lay down for you. So you have to absolutely bring it and do whatever it takes to beat those teams. And you're right. I mean, it was such a fun, that September 11th doubleheader was such a fun thing to watch because of the offense, right? And I mean, it, no matter who they're playing against, it, you score that many runs, you're, you know, people are going to take notice, right? Other teams are going to take notice. People around the league are going to take notice. It was exciting.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, like you can't help. And then on that Sunday, they beat the Orioles 22-7. So, like, again, like it's just remarkable, man. Afterwards, the comebacks on the doubleheader. I mean, Charlie Montoyo says, I've never seen anything like that these last 3 days. I've been in the game for 35 years, and I've never seen anything like that back-to-back to score that many runs. And that's what the Blue Jays did, keeping their postseason hopes alive. Now, I'm going to continue the trend, Jen, in games in September. Shows you how much September meant to the Blue Jays and to its fans. And trust me, like, there were a lot of really good games. But I'm going to go to the final series against the Yankees. And it was game two of that series. Now, the Blue Jays lost game one. And that was a game where, you know, you just had to tip your cap to Giancarlo Stanton, right? I remember he just broke the hearts with that inside changeup, you know, golf shot of a homer, and, you know, the Yankees won. So game two, the Blue Jays are up 4-0 through their first four innings. But man, was this Yankees team on a run that final series against Toronto at the Rogers Center. And by the seventh inning, Jen, the Yankees had tied it up at five. But then Bo Bichette happened in the bottom of the eighth inning, and he notched his 28th homer and his second on the night to the opposite field, scoring what would be the go-ahead run for the Blue Jays to win that game. And I remember that series, Jen, and I believe we talked about it on the very first few episodes that you and I did of Locked On Blue Jays together, and how Bo was just so into it, so competitive, so like he really wanted this moment to be his. And it was. I mean, if the Blue Jays again lose that game, I mean, they're done, right? Because, you know, they need to win that Yankee series, which they didn't end up doing, but that's besides the point. I think what Bo Bichette showed in that game was how tough he is. And I think as a young player who's never been in this position before, he relished in the moment and put together a great performance. And what a clutch go-ahead home run that was to give the Blue Jays the win.
It really was. And, you know, you look at those games, and I was at that first game against the Yankees on the 28th. And, you know, unlike on September 3rd, when they were losing and it just all almost seemed comical because they really didn't appear to be in the playoff race, by September 28th, of course, they were in that race. And, you know, it was such a critical loss because it was against the Yankees. And yes, you know, I tip my cap to Giancarlo Stanton. I've stood next to the man. He is the most physically impressive human being I have ever seen in my entire life. And that includes the fact I've stood next to Aaron Judge as well. I don't even know how to explain Giancarlo Stanton, and he had absolutely no business hitting that home run, right? So what exactly can you do about that? But yeah, and I mean, you know, that series was, as I just said, a critical one because of who they were facing. And, you know, they ultimately ended up dropping two of the three games to the Yankees, which of course set up that crazy scenario on the final weekend, you know, and it really was, it really made the end of the season just an absolute nail biter.
Yeah. And I think, again, it shows the importance of Bo Bichette on this team and how, you know, the potential that he has, right? And again, you know, I go back to this point, like, you know, Bo hadn't been in a lot of these big game situations before against divisional rivals at the Rogers Center. And for him to perform like that, and was just so impressive. And it just felt like that whole last week of the season, he just really wanted to propel his team to victory. And I just, you know, look, this is, it's why that mint rookie card, Jen, is worth a lot, because, you know, it's for moments like that. And I think we're going to have more of those in the years to come. We're going to take a quick break, but we have more games to get to coming up right after this. But first, let's check in with our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football continues its march through the College Bowl season and the Pro Football Playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank all listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, the floor is yours for a game.
So this might actually seem like an odd choice because the Blue Jays did not win either of these games, but I do think it was sort of a key moment in the season. And then that was that two-game series in August against the Washington Nationals. Two games that the Jays ended up losing 12-6 and 8-5. And the reason why I bring up these two games is because, you know, as we know, the Jays slumped in August. And what we just talked about with regards to them beating up on the Orioles holds true for Washington as well, in the sense that Washington was not a good team last season. Their final record was 65-97. And realistically, this is a team that the Blue Jays should have been able to defeat handedly. And when you take it into the context of the entire season, where we literally learned that every single game matters because the Jays missed the playoffs by one lousy game, you know, you take a look at that series and, you know, really the Blue Jays should have won at least one of those two games. And to have dropped both of them sort of signified not only August slump, but is then also what put them in that position of being, you know, essentially out of it, and fans sort of beginning to write off the season as being just another, you know, another bummer of a season, I guess. So I know it seems really odd, like I said, to pick games that the Jays lost, but I do think that was a critical series. And if you're looking somewhere, you know, for where they could have made up wins, that series is one to take a look at.
Yeah, and I think you can't tell the story of the 2021 Toronto Blue Jays without those unfortunate losses, especially to teams where they need to win. And I think the Nationals series for sure was one of them. I think the two series against Detroit, I mean, Detroit's a team that had nothing to play for come August, except spoiler. So that's another example. I mean, you know, you look at the Twins, I mean, sure, you know, we all love Josh Donaldson as Blue Jays fans and followers, but come on, like, that's, you know, at the end of the day, like that's a series that you got to win. So you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, again, 162 games are a lot, and it's not like the NFL where it's 18 games. So it's, you know, very much, or pardon me, 17 games, and where it's very much, you know, a sprint. You know, it's still a marathon, but there's so many moments where you just have to be good for a whole period of time. It's a real endurance test, Jen, a baseball season. And I think while the Blue Jays had some incredible moments, the endurance just wasn't always there. And that Washington National Series is a perfect example of that.
Right. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention, you know, a loss given the context of the season, given the fact that they did miss the playoffs, right? There were large segments of the season that were not particularly enjoyable. And, you know, that series in August, I think, you know, was key among them.
So I'm going to turn it back a little bit to end off on a little bit of a positive note.
Let's do it.
And I'm going to go to June 13th. And that was against the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park. And that afternoon, Jen, the Blue Jays won 17-4, and eight of those home runs, that eight home runs coming in that game alone, seven different Blue Jays had a home run in that game, with Teoscar Hernandez clearing the wall twice. And that actually marked a new record, Jen, for a visiting team at Fenway Park. And the wild thing about this is, like, again, Fenway Park's a park where, my goodness, I mean, you know, left field is very difficult to hit a home run out of because of the Green Monster. So for them to be able to generate that amount of home runs against a divisional rival was pretty impressive. I think it again speaks to the team, right? This is what this team is built on. When they're clicking on offense, when all their hitters are on a roll and hitting home runs, they're very hard to stop. And I think that's a little bit of, I mean, again, it was June 13th, but man, was that a bit of a foreshadow to what we saw a lot in the month of September, particularly against the Baltimore Orioles in a couple of those series. It's unfortunate that the Blue Jays didn't play the Red Sox in September, because I think that would have been a lot of fun. Hopefully the schedule is a bit better next year and has a little bit more balance in it. But, you know, for the Blue Jays to finish with an MLB best 262 home runs in 2021, and eight of those came in one game on the road, I need to include that June 13th 18-4 win against the Boston Red Sox in this podcast.
Absolutely. And you take a look at the box score from that game, you know, Bo Bichette was 4-for-5 in that game with 5 runs scored. I mean, let's talk about the season that Bo had, right? Sort of encapsulated in one game. Vlad was 3-for-5 and scored 2 runs. Teoscar Hernandez went 3-for-6 and scored 2 runs. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., 3-for-5. Biggio, 2-for-4. And on it goes. The team was 6-for-11 with runners in scoring position and only left 4 on base, which, as we know, was a little bit of an issue at certain points during the season, the inability to score runners. And so, you know, everything just went right for them in this game. And the fact that it happened on the road at Fenway Park just made that win all the more enjoyable for Blue Jays fans.
Well, you don't call them Fenway fireworks for nothing, Jen. And that's certainly what happened on that June 13th that day in Boston for the Toronto Blue Jays. And yeah, I mean, look, you know, we're coming up to the end of our time here. There's a lot of games that we haven't even gotten to. I mean, obviously, we chatted about a couple of them on yesterday's show. In terms of the top newsmakers, I mean, obviously their return to Toronto, that first game, July 30th against the Kansas City Royals, so memorable for them to win that game. First time in 670 days in front of their fans. I think the Alec Manoah debut, which you brought up, was certainly a highlight. Are there any other games, Jen, that stand out to you as maybe a little bit of an honorable mention before we wrap it up?
I mean, the obvious one that we haven't talked about would be that final game of the season, right? And it wouldn't just be talking about the Jays game. We would have to talk about the Boston game. We'd have to talk about the Yankees game, right? All three of them, because it was a really crazy final day. And, you know, the Jays game of the three was the one that ended first, I believe.
Correct.
And so, you know, everybody was still flipping channels. I think a lot of people had flipped from the Jays game because they seemed to have that one in hand. And it's not often that everything kind of comes down to that final day of the season, right? Typically playoff positions are wrapped up by that final game, but this had implications not just for the Blue Jays, but for other teams as well. So honorable mention to that final game or those final games, that final day. We'll give it to the final day.
Well, Jen, that final day was so impactful that we needed to do an emergency podcast before that final day. That just shows you how big it was. But
yes,
in all seriousness, like, I mean, how, like thinking about it now, a few months after the fact, like the fact that I put faith into the Washington Nationals to do something right,
yeah,
like, which is win a game, or the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, I mean, come on. Like, I mean, you know, the House of Horrors and its Tropicana Field and Cardgate and all that. And then, you know, to put faith in the Boston Red Sox, a city that has just broken Toronto's heart time after time after time again. I mean, you know, shouldn't have been surprised by that. But
no,
the one thing I will say, though, is, you know, to see again that Jays offense and to see them win in front of their fans, I think it's a little taste, a little glimmer, if you will, of what's to come, and that there will be, you know, many more great moments, because I think this is just the beginning of something special, Jen. And 2021 was certainly memorable in terms of the number of games. We are out of time, but we are going to have more look back, look ahead episodes as we round out the year that is 2021 this week on the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. But before we go, Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
People can find me at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone, thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms. So for this episode of Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We'll chat again soon.